Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. Amen? Praise God. That's tomorrow's Bible study. Praise God. So we here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it does say, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Amen. Praise God. In Psalms 20 and 1, in the NIV says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob, Elohim, Jacob, protect you. Praise be to God. God of Jacob, you are the great and mighty God, and yet you are also a personal God who identifies with mere humans like Jacob. We praise you because you are awesome and because you are able to answer our prayers and the prayers of all who seek you. In the early centuries of history, Israelite people as their God, the Elohim Jacob. Yet, through Jesus Christ, you are our God. And you have often blessed the land where we live because of your goodness. We honor you for honoring those who seek and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our lesson this evening will be Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us and give us your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying, please, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you can call in your prayer request at the same number. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to play another selection while we are waiting. Praise God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Well, I'm moving
good.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop this.
I am the one. Need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word,
a moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. If you would like to join us, please feel free to call in 319-527-6204. And you can give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. Amen? Praise God. So, again, at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting. And again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater.
Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, amen, which is entitled, Trusting the Bible, amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Jeremiah chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 15 through 21, amen. That's Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 15 through 21. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it does say, Then I said, Lord, you know what's happening to me. Please step in and help me. Punish my persecutors. Please give me time. Don't let me die young. It's for your sake that I am suffering. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. I never joined the people in their merry feasts. I sat alone because your hand was on me. I was filled with the indignation at their sins. Why then does my suffering continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that has gone dry. This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. They might fight against you like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you, for I am with you to protect and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Yes, I will certainly keep you safe from these wicked men. I will rescue you from their cruel hands. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Jeremiah 15 and 16, and it says, When your words came, I ate them. Amen. The writer says, Billy Graham, the renowned American evangelist, once described his struggles to accept the Bible as completely true. One night, as he walked alone in the moonlight at a retreat center in the San Bernardino Mountains, he dropped to his knees and placed his Bible on a tree stump, able only to stutter a prayer. Oh God, there are many things in this book I do not understand. By confessing his confusion, Graham said, the Holy Spirit finally freed me to say it. Father, I am going to accept this as thy word by faith. When he stood up, he still had questions, but he said, I knew a spiritual battle in my soul had been fought and won. The young prophet Jeremiah fought spiritual battles too, yet he consistently sought answers in scripture. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. In Jeremiah 15 and 16, he declared, the word of the Lord is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. 20:8-9. 19th century evangelist Charles Spurgeon wrote, Jeremiah, let us into a secret. His outer life, especially his faithful ministry, was due to his inward love of the word which he preached. We too can shape our life through the wisdom of scripture despite struggles. We can keep studying, as always, by faith. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. How has your life been shaped by scripture? And as you accept it by faith, how do you expect your life to change? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, show us new things about you as we read the Bible. Teach us your ways. Show us your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So you see, Jeremiah in the scriptures was saying, Jeremiah accused God of not helping him when he really needed it. Jeremiah had taken his eyes off God's purpose and was feeling sorry for himself. He was angry, hurt, and afraid. In response, God did not get angry at Jeremiah. He answered by rearranging Jeremiah's priorities. As God's mouthpiece, he was to influence the people, not let them influence him. And there are three important lessons in this passage. In prayer, we can reveal our deepest thoughts to God. That's number one. Number two, God expects us to trust him no matter what. And number three, we are here to influence others for God. Amen. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I am Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. gracias es vos, siempre mi fuerza, mi luna, ojos son, ya me osorio, tu coale, ya, aleluya.
Hallelujah, Jesus. God of Jacob, forgive us for failing to recognize your personal attachment in our own life. As you are the God of Jacob, you are also the God of us. Through Christ, we are reconciled to you and to have been every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You will even have a new name for when we one day enter your presence in eternity. Forgive us for being too tired to the things we can see, smell, and touch rather than to you, the great God of Jacob, the great God of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God, because prayer changes things. And that's the main reason why we are here on this program, Pray One for Another. We pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. So at this time, I will play another selection.
To go at the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never sing, never, or come what may. Rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
need the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This device is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. The hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and take in this proverb that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Ooh, God of Jacob, thank you for healing us in our distress and for delivering us from time and time again. Your name is a name of protection. Thank you for demonstrating that protection throughout history. You hid the spies in Jericho by leading them to a woman named Rahab. You gave the Israelites entry into the promised land by stopping up the waters of the Jordan when it would have been too high to cross. Yours is a name of protection and provision. And we thank you for revealing this to us in so many ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
Mama,
Praise be to God. God of Jacob, we ask that the personal name you have given to Jacob, you will give to us. You called and chose Jacob to be your servant. But through Jesus Christ, you have also called the chosen, you have called and chosen us to understand your kingdom agenda and to advance your glory on earth. Deliver us from our distresses. Show us the path where we can cross waters that are too deep for us to cross on our own. Hide us in the recesses of your palm. Grant us favor where we go, that we might fully walk in the promises and the blessings you have assigned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God.
And
Praise be to God, pouring out my heart, Lord. Come hear me. Praise God. At this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I'd like to acknowledge my co-host online. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
Praise God.
I guess
anyone else on?
No, our speaker is running a little bit, and I'm about to find out, call her now, because she always tells me to remind her. Sometimes she gets so busy.
Coming.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Amen. Praise God. Our speaker will be with us momentarily. And
all right.
While we're waiting. So how was your day?
Fine. Blessed.
Wonderful.
And yours?
Busy, busy, busy. I was here shredding up papers all morning until it was time to go on the line.
Wow.
You wouldn't believe yes, and but the thing is, it is very tiring.
Yeah, I've done it. I had no deal. If you don't get shredded, you have to look through it.
Right, exactly. Because I mean, like, I normally like statements and stuff like that. I look at it and I throw everybody in a box. But the way that things are going today, they're not even bothering sending out statements and whatnot. So I'm just trying to shred them all up and get rid of them and only keep the recent ones just in case.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good. It's a job.
It is. It's an all-day thing. When you're going
to
shred paper,
do the same thing.
Yeah, make sure that... Make sure that you don't have nothing else to do for the day.
Well, if you do, you have to do it in spurts. You can't do it all day long.
That's what I do.
Stop and sit down.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure there's no checks in there. That's my thought. Sometimes it's stuff you haven't looked at, and it's
and
a check
years.
In it.
Yes.
Months, anyway. In years too, but got to make sure there's no checks in it. You don't want to shred them.
Absolutely.
They're not any good after 30 days.
No,
they're not.
Some of them are 180 days. Hmm? Some of them 6 months.
You mean you can hold a check for 6 months?
Depends on what it says. Some of them say no good or deposit within 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, you have to call the company and let them know that you didn't see it 2 years ago, and could they please reissue it? I've done that too.
I didn't know you could do that. I thought once it expired, that's it.
Well, you try to get to it within the 6 months, but like I say, you have to check it because some of them, the duration may not be 180 days, but it usually says so on the check.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. I guess I done.
All of that, wait. All of that is foreign to me because as soon as I see a check, it's getting cashed.
But that's still, you don't see it because you don't open your mail. That's what we're talking about. You don't open it.
You don't know.
You know, because sometimes I just get mail and throw it on the table and keep it moving.
I've had a check that came, I think, like 2 years prior, and I didn't realize it was a check till I was trying to shred stuff. And I had to call them and let them know I overlooked it. Would you please, you know, reissue it? And they did. But you try to stay on top of that. When I get something from them now, I do look at it within a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I
so
do.
Our first lady.
I thought, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready for.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Oh,
you guys, yeah, we're finishing up Obadiah. You're probably moving to Jonah. Yeah, we only have just one more chapter of Obadiah, and we go into Jonah.
Oh, right.
Amen. Did you guys pray in already?
No.
Did you guys pray in? Okay.
No, ma'am.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless your holy name, Lord God, because,
yes.
Lord God, you are so worthy, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, to save the world,
yes,
even though we didn't deserve it, Lord God. But you are so loving, so kind, and so, 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 so marvelous, Lord God, that in spite of everything, in spite of ourselves, Lord God, you still saw it fit to save us. And we can't thank you enough, Lord God, for that. Lord God, we welcome you, Lord God, into this session, Lord God, this teaching, learning session, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that everything that I say and do, Lord God, is not only pleasing to you, Lord God, but it's clear, Lord God, to those who are participating, Lord God. Because your word, Lord God, is a light under our feet, Lord God, and we need to know what it is that you want us to do and how you want us to live our lives, Lord God. So we thank you. We don't take this time for granted, Lord God. Bless everyone who's on this line, Lord God, and we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Let me turn this off.
Okay. So the chapter that we're up to is the judgment of Edom. And who is Edom? Who are these Edom people?
The Edomites are related to Esau, Jacob's brother and brother.
Yeah. Exactly. And what do we know about these Edomites?
They were the enemies of the Israelites.
Mhm. Mhm. Certainly, wow. So, what are some of the things that they did to the Israelites?
Well, for one thing, when the Judeans were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, they stood by and allowed them to be taken. They would not allow them to come as refugees into their country and be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, sent them back to be captured or, you know, dead, killed, or raped, or whatever. They would not rescue them.
Right. Not only that, they cheered them on. They cheered on the Babylonians. You know, they were like their cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
And, Hilda, do you remember what they did to Moses? Hilda?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Do you
remember what they did to Moses, the Edomites?
The Edomites did to Moses?
Mm-hmm. And the Israelites? After leaving Egypt?
You mean the murmuring? The complaining?
No. Do you remember what? Let's go back.
Yeah.
Who are the Edomites?
The Edomites are the Esau, the from the line of Esau.
Right, and your sons of Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what they did to Moses and the Israelites after they left captivity in Egypt?
Oh, they made the when they were out in the desert, and they made at the mountain when Moses went up to get the law, and they were down there making making a golden calf.
Well, that wasn't the Edomites that was making the golden calf. Those were the Israelites making the golden calf.
Okay. But then I don't remember what they did.
Okay. So let's go back.
So the Edomites
in Genesis. Let's see, where is that scripture? Oh, I can't find the scripture right now. But one of the things that the Edomites did to Moses is that they wouldn't allow Moses to pass through. When Moses was with the Israelites, the Edomites would not allow Moses and the Israelites to pass through their land.
Right.
So they had to go take another route, you know, to get to where they were going because they wouldn't allow them. And in spite of Moses, like, practically begging them, they still stood ground and said no. They wouldn't allow them to pass through. I'm trying to find them. But anyway, so right now we're going to talk about the judgment of Edom, which is verses 1-18 in Obadiah. Could somebody read those verses?
Okay.
1-18 The judgment of Edom.
Okay. It says, this is the version that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. Somebody's microphone is too loud. Judgment announced. So we have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nation to say, get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom. The Lord said to Edom, I will cut you down to size among the nations. You will be greatly despised. You have been deceived by your own pride. Because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains, who can ever reach us way up here? You ask boastfully. But even if you soar as high as an eagle and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. If thieves came at night and robbed you, what a disaster awaits you. They would not take everything. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. But your enemies will wipe you out completely. Every nook and cranny of Edom will be searched and looted. Every treasure will be found and taken. All your allies will turn against you. They will help to chase you from your land. They will promise you peace while plotting to deceive and destroy you. Your trusted friends will set traps for you, and you won't even know about it. At the time, not a single wise person will be left in the whole land of Edom, says the Lord. For on the mountain of Edom, I will destroy everyone who has understanding. The mightiest warriors of Teman will be terrified, and everyone on the mountains of Edom will be cut down in slaughter. Because of the violence you did to your close relatives in Israel, you will be filled with shame and destroyed forever. When they were invaded, you stood aloof, refusing to help them. Foreign invaders carried off their wealth and cast lots to divide up Jerusalem. But you acted like one of Israel's enemies. You should not have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. You should not have rejoiced when the people of Judah suffered such misfortune. You should not have spoken arrogantly in that terrible time of trouble. You should have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have gloated over their destruction when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have seized their wealth when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroad killing those who tried to escape. You should not have captured the survivors and handed them over in their terrible time of trouble. Keep going. Where am I supposed to go to?
18,
thank you. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, all you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place, and the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. The people of Israel will be a raging fire, and Edom a field of dry stubble. The descendants of Joseph will be a flame roaring across the field, devouring everything. There will be no survivors in Edom. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, they have a horrible fate ahead of them for what they did.
Well, what they did to the others is boomeranging back on them. God's
exactly.
Word.
Right. But something we read last week, Hilda, I can't find it.
What's
it
that?
Was really interesting. It was, so we were tracing the flight of the Edomites. And it was the constant war between the Edomites and the Israelites. And the Edomites became, they became another tribe. I forgot the name of the other tribe. Oh, my God. They became another tribe. I'm going to find it. I read this so vividly, and I don't know where I read it at. Okay, but anyway, the Edomites became this other tribe, okay? And out of that tribe of the Edomites came King Herod. And the article or whatever the thing it was that I read showed how the rivalry between Judah and the Edomites continued through King Herod and Jesus, when Jesus was a baby, how he still tried to kill him, right?
Yes,
so this rivalry continues up until Jesus. But when they finally came to work with the Israelites in 70 AD, when Rome destroyed the temple. At that point, they fought with the Israelites against Rome, because Rome ended up destroying the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they were completely wiped out, just like God promised. There was not one
Edomite, even this new whatever, you know how they manifested into this new tribe. They were completely wiped out as of 70 AD after Rome had destroyed the temple. They also, there wasn't, and as God predicted, the Edomites were wiped away from the earth. But did I read that? Where did I read that at? But I was just like, that was so profound, you know, how, you know, with Herod, and even up until the point of Jesus, that the rivalry continued, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like God said, he wiped them out. They were no more.
Mm-hmm.
They were no more on the earth.
Wiped
so anyway, just reading this. So the first section of Obadiah makes it clear that the coming overthrow of Edom is a certainty, not a condition. Edom is arrogant because of its secure position in Mount Seir, a mountainous region south of the Dead Sea. Its capital city is Silla or Petra. It's protected by a narrow canyon that prevents invasions by any army. But God says this will make no difference. Even a thief does not take everything. But when God destroys Edom, it will be totally ransacked. It will be totally ransacked. Nothing will avert God's complete judgment. And we saw in verses 10 through 14, which Hilda read, it describes Edom's major crime of gloating over the invasion of Jerusalem. Edom rejoiced when the foreigners plundered Jerusalem and became as one of them.
Wow.
On the day when she should have been allied with Judah, she instead became an aggressor against Judah. Edom will eventually be judged during the coming day of the Lord, when Israel shall be a fire, but the house of Esau shall be stumbled. And so, and then the restoration of Israel. Sister Barbara, can you read verses 19 through 21, please?
Yeah. This is the message. People from the south will take over the Esau mountains. People from the foothills will overrun the Philistines. They'll take the farms of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will take Gilead. Earlier, Israelite exiles will come back and take Canaanite land to the north of Zarephath. Jerusalem exiles from the far northwest and Shepherd will come back and take the cities in the south. The remnant of the saved in Mount Zion will go into the mountains of Esau and rule justly and fairly, a rule that honors God's kingdom. And God's word is already blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So the closing verses give hope to God's people that they will possess not only their own land, but also that of Edom and Philistia. So that ends Obadiah.
Mm-hmm.
And we move on to Jonah. Jonah. Now, what do we know about Jonah?
Jonah. We know he got swallowed up by the fish.
Why? Why are you going to swallow that?
Because he's disobedient.
Mm-hmm. It's disobedience.
So he was a prophet.
So let's see. Yeah, exactly. God's
prophet.
Sent him to speak to the people of Nineveh.
Nineveh. And he didn't want to go. because of his hatred.
You want to talk to them people?
His hatred for them because of what had transpired like 150 years before. They still mm-hmm. held this hatred towards one another. And he should.
Now, was Nineveh, were the people of Nineveh Israelites?
Were the people of Nineveh Israelites? No.
Yeah.
They were?
No.
They're not.
Oh, you said yes.
No, they're not. You said yes. I want to make sure. But I think what's so interesting about the fact that they were not Israelites, that God still sore to send them a prophet. I think this is the only prophet that's not prophesizing to Israelites. He's prophesizing to, I guess you could call them Gentiles, because they were not Israelites. So, but God sends Jonah to them anyway, and I just thought that was just so profound. So let's read it. So Nineveh, how do you pronounce that? What's the proper pronounce? Pronunciation, Barbara.
Nineveh,
okay. Mm-hmm. Nineveh was northeast. Tarshish was west. When God called Jonah to preach repentance to the wicked Ninevites, the prophet knew that God's mercy might follow. He turned down the assignment and headed for Tarshish instead. But once God had dampened his spirit by tossing him out of the boat into the water and demonstrated his potential by moving him out of the water into the fish, Jonah realized God was serious about his command. Nineveh must hear the word of the Lord. And so Jonah goes. But through the preaching is a But though the preaching is a success, the preacher comes away angry and discouraged and must learn firsthand of God's compassion upon sinful men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the book is broken up into three. Wait, come on, more with me. So we have, why is this thing moving? It's broken up into two sections. The first section is called the first commission of Jonah, and then the second commission of Jonah. So the first commission of Jonah actually is verses 1:1 to 2:10, and it deals specifically with Jonah's first call, disobedience to the first call. Then the second section is judgment on Jonah's exacted, then prayer of Jonah in the fish, and deliverance of Jonah from the fish. That's the first section. And then the second section is his obedience to the second judgment on Nineveh averted.
Now you want to do it.
Right. Prayers of Jonah and rebuke of Jonah. Okay, God's mercy upon Nineveh. So he broke it down into God's mercy upon Jonah. The first part was the I won't go. I will go. I'm here. I should have come, right? I should have did it. So this happened back in 760 BC. So here we go.
Okay.
So it's Jonah is four chapters, guys.
Four.
Okay, so we can probably read the whole thing by next week, but let's just go through
what we have here. So we'll read some of the verses. So the Hebrews say Yonah, Y-O-N-A-H, is the Hebrew word for dove. And the Septuagint or Hellenized this word into Ionos, Ionis, and the Latin Jonas, the author. The first verse introduces Jonah as son of Amittai. Nothing more would be known about him were it not for another reference to him in 2 Kings. So in 2 Kings 14:25, Hilda, can you get that?
Mm-hmm. 2 Kings.
Okay.
2 Kings.
14:25.
Jeroboam the second recovered the territories of Israel between Lebo Hamma, and the Dead Sea, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised through Jonah's son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher.
Right, so Jonah is mentioned in 2 Kings as a prophet in the reign of Jeroboam the second of Israel. Under Jeroboam, the borders of Israel was expanded according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. Gath-Hepher was 3 miles north of Nazareth in Lower Galilee, making Jonah a prophet of the northern kingdom. The Pharisees were wrong when they said, "Search and look, for no prophet has arisen from Galilee." And they said that in John 7:52, where it says, they answered and said to him, "You are not also from Galilee, are you? Investigate and see that a prophet does not arise from Galilee." And who do you think they were talking about or talking to? Jesus. Exactly. They're doubting him, you know, but it's supposed to show you how much they really know their own scripture. Because if they knew that, if they said that, then they didn't read the fact that Jonah was from Galilee. He was a prophet, okay? But anyway, so because Jonah was Galilean, okay, one of Jewish traditions says that Jonah was the son of the widow Zarephath, whom Elijah raised from the dead. So that's in, that's interesting. 1 Kings 17, Sister Barbara, 8-24.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. I wonder if that's true. He's the kid that Elijah raised from the dead.
Elijah raised from the dead. I remember.
8 through 24.
Okay, Charger 7. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. As she went to get it, he called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? She said, I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour and a jar and a little oil and a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. And she went right off and did just as Elijah asked, and turned out, as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. Later on, the woman's son became sick. The sickness took a turn for the worse, and then he stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, why did you ever show up here in this first place, a holy man barging in, exposing my sins and killing my son? Elijah said, hand me your son. He then took him from her bosom, carried him up to the loft where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he prayed, oh God, my God, why have you brought this terrible thing on this widow who had opened her home to me? Why have you killed her son? 3 times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might, God, my God, put breath back into this boy's body. God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. He was alive. Elijah picked the boy up, carried him downstairs from the loft, and gave him to his mother. Here's your son, said Elijah, alive. The woman said to Elijah, I see it all now. You are a holy man. When you speak, God speaks a true word. And that word is already blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we have two thoughts here. One is that Jonah is a son of Amittai, and the other one is he's a son of the widow.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess. So what do you think? Which one does it? Which one makes sense to you?
Well, I don't call him by name in First Kings.
They don't. Like,
it's possible. I mean, I would have to do some more research to find out for sure, but I can believe that that was him, that was Jonah.
Okay, so let's do some research on that. Because even though it says, because it says Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now, the widow, she could be a widow because Amittai died, right? Making her a widow. See what I'm saying? Because it's the widow's child that he raised from the dead. But it's also, it also says Jonah, the son of Amittai.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, both could be true. So let's do that. Let's look and see if Amittai and the widow can
parent of Jonah.
Okay.
Hilda, you got it?
No.
Hilda.
What was it?
Okay. It's Amittai.
Amittai.
And the widow. And the widow.
And
of
the widow.
Zarephathah.
His first name.
Amittai
mm-hmm.
and the widow
and the
what?
The widow Zarephathah. Are
the
they
widow.
Both parents?
So. Are they both
parents? Parents of Jonah.
Okay. Parents of Jonah. Jonah. Oh, got it. Where's the scripture for that?
Well, you're going to have to do some research. Yeah, because we just read the scripture of the widow and the
right.
boy, but it doesn't tell us who the boy is. But we also read a scripture saying that that Jonah was the son of Amittai.
Hmm.
So he's the son of Amittai, and he's the son of the widow, which some it says where Jewish some Jewish traditions say that Jonah was the son of the widow of Zarephath. So, are they both his parents? Is she a widow because Amittai died? And you know, for women, you know, once they become widows, they're going to die. They're gonna starve. They're not gonna be able to eat because
there's no one to take care of them.
Take care of them. So we want to know if we're going to find out if both of them were parents of Jonah.
Okey-dokey.
Okay. So some critics claim that Jonah was written during the 5th or 3rd centuries BC. As a historical fiction to oppose the narrow nationalism of Ezra and Nehemiah by introducing universalistic ideas. So what does that sentence mean to you guys?
Say that again.
Okay. Some critics claim that Jonah was written during the 5th and 3rd centuries BC. They think that it was opposed the narrow nationalism of Ezra and Nehemiah. Who's Ezra and Nehemiah?
Those were the ones who came back from captivity in Babylon.
Right. So Ezra was the priest and Nehemiah was the governor because he ended up being the governor. So the narrow nationalism of Ezra and Nehemiah by introducing a universalistic idea. So the narrow nationalism, who did Ezra and Nehemiah serve, prophesy to?
They prophesied to the Judeans.
So basically to the Judeans, right, to the Israels. And so this introducing this universalistic idea, what does that mean? This universalistic idea.
An idea
what
that
did God
believe.
Do differently? What did God do differently with Jonah?
Jonah was sent as a prophet to warn Nineveh about an impending annihilation if they did not repent.
Right. So what is the idea of prophesizing to Nineveh versus the narrow nationalism of Ezra and Nehemiah, who only prophesized to Judah? What does it show
Does it show that they both were disobedient to God's word?
Who was disobedient?
The Israelites and who were you talking about? Ezra and Nehemiah.
None of it. Right. So this is actually a comparison.
Were they not Gentiles?
Exactly. So this is what this sentence is saying. Is it's a It's an opposition to the narrow nationalism means that Ezra and Nehemiah only prophesied to the Jews, right?
Right.
But God is bigger than that, right? God went beyond the Jews and saw it in his heart to prophesy to the Nineveh, right? They weren't Jewish.
Right.
So he sent Jonah to prophesy the Ninevites. He sent Jonah to prophesy to them.
Mm-hmm.
So he did something like God always does. He did something different. He did something, progressive. By having them. And guess what? They end up doing better than the Israelites because they obey.
They obey.
Four times, then
they reverted back to their evil ways.
Yeah, that's what everybody do. But at least they heard it. We were talking about the other day, Barbara, where, they hear the word for a minute, and then they don't keep it in their heart, and then they just sway back. But
that goes back to the seed being planted. Some of it's planted, and it doesn't take root. So, yeah, they revert back, but the seed is not deep within them. But we have some that is deeply planted in them, and they don't revert back. They continue in the word.
Right.
Exactly. And I believe there were some Ninevites who, where it was planted deep. It's not always the whole group of people who don't hear God's word, there's always a group or a remnant that will listen to God's word, right? So they say an anonymous writer created this work. We're talking about the author of this. But it says they say an anonymous writer created this work, Jonah, to counteract the Jewish practice of excluding the Samaritans of worship and excluding the Samaritans from worship and divorcing foreign wives. To support this view, it is noted that the book is written in the third person with no claim that Jonah authored it. The use of aromatic words and the statement that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, which we saw in 3:3, where 3:3 says, so Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Now, Nineveh was an extraordinarily great city, a journey of 3 days, of course. This indicates a later date after Nineveh's fall it fell in 612 BC. So conservative scholars challenge this claim with these arguments. One, the idea of God's inclusion of the Gentiles in his program is found elsewhere in Scripture. Hilda, if you could find Genesis 9 and 27, also 12 and 3, and Sister Barbara, if you can find Leviticus 19:33-34. And this is, we're going to see that the idea of God's inclusion of the Gentiles in his program is found elsewhere in Scripture. So it's not just found in Jonah, that God has did this before.
9:27 says, may God expand the territory of Japheth. May Japheth share the prosperity of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant.
Twelve and three says,
I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Who's he talking about? I have to go back a few. Go back to verse 1.
Abraham.
Yeah. Amen. He definitely knew from day one he will include all of us, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sister Barbara, Levi.
Okay. Leviticus gave me 33 to 34, but I just want to read 32.
Okay.
It says,
okay, cool.
Show respect to the aged. Honor the presence of an elder. Fear your God. I am God. When a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like one of your own. Remember that you were strange, once foreigners in Egypt. I am God, your God. Amen.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one is, I'm going to read 1 Sam.
So that's what he's doing to the Ninevites. He's treating them like one of his own. And he's telling Jonah, us, really, to treat the foreigners like they're one of his own. Have mercy on them.
Mm-hmm. God, yes. So Samuel 2:10 says, Yahweh will shatter his adversaries. He will thunder against them in the heavens. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and will exalt the might of his anointed ones. Hilda, could you get Joel 2:28-32?
What's that scripture again?
It's Joel 2:28-32.
Okay.
If you got it, Sister Barbara, go ahead, because my things are sticking together and it's hard for me.
Okay, Joel 2:28-32.
Yep.
Okay, the sun turning black and the moon blood red is a heading. And that's just the beginning. After that, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my spirit servants, men and women both. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the judgment day of God, the day tremendous and awesome. Whoever calls help God gets help on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. There will be a great rescue, just as God said. Included in the survivors are those that God calls. And his word is already
Wow. Finished. Amen. A wonderful verse to close out with. So now it's 8:03, and we will continue from Jonah and try to read the whole book of Jonah for next
okay.
week. And we also have our homework assignment.
Right.
Is Matthiah and the widow of Zarephath, parents of Jonah.
Okay.
Amen. So, Hilda, you want to pray us out?
Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that was said tonight and all that was done. Thank you for just bringing us together on another Tuesday evening to study your words. And thank you for our teacher who explained
yeah.
everything so wonderfully. And thank you for everyone who participated this evening in this yeah. lesson. Bless each and every one of us this evening, Lord God. Bless our homes, families, friends, even bless our enemies, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. I just want to say that I enjoyed the lesson. However, I won't be on tomorrow. I have a meeting with my church at 7, and so I don't know how long it's going to take. So I already text Apostle Robert to let him know if he wants to facilitate, pick it up at chapter 25.
I was just going to tell you that. I was just going to say that I wouldn't be there tomorrow because we're going on vacation. Yeah, we're going on vacation.
Okay.
All
right, where are you going?
Mohegan Sun, not that far. We didn't want to go too far.
Oh, okay.
We're going to Mohegan Sun. Yeah.
Where's that, in Connecticut?
And, it's in Connecticut, yeah. Right in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself. Get your relaxation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Amen. So, comes out. All right.
Yeah.
Be safe traveling and, you know, while you're there and come back safely also. Okay.
Beautiful. Amen. Thank you. Say a prayer for us. Yep, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks for letting us know.
Absolutely.
And thank you, ladies, for letting us know that, so that I know what I have to do tomorrow. Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Right.
Amen.
So, ladies,
but next week, God willing, we'll be back in the saddle.
Amen.
We'll be back on the saddle. That's right.
With your homework done.
I know I have
with your homework done.
If I don't do it the same day, like right after you
your
do
choice,
it,
madam.
Go, so.
Your choice. Yeah, I prefer
I
to
do
it
the
same
day,
really. Right after the program. But I don't know about tonight.
I know, not tonight, right? Okay.
Not tonight.
All right, guys, love you.
Love you all. Be safe.
I'm not going to play any music.
Bye.
I'm just going to close us out. Good night. Love you guys.
Okay.
Shalom.
Love you too.
Shalom. Enjoy and be safe.
Both hung up at the same time.